Well, good morning. We want to welcome you back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Alan, and I'm so glad to be here with Trent today. And, you know, we are recording in January, and this is a February episode. And I know the wind blew through here yesterday in Colorado, and it's already made its way into Oklahoma.
Yeah, man, and I had to change locations where I'm actually recording in one of our bedrooms now. It's like, okay, we're trying to isolate all the noise, and so please understand if you hear a lot of wind or whatever. We're trying.
Yeah, and you know, Trent and I, we now that we are also recording the video part as well as the audio part, we continue to tinker. Like, I've got the Eye of Sauron. If you keep if you watch us, you'll see the lighting that I'm using. Every now and then, it'll show up in my glasses, and that's the joy of glasses, Trent. Right?
That's right. I hate being old. Yeah,
we can. We can see. The bad part is that, you know, you don't want to play cards or anything because everyone else will see what's going on, too. So
anyway. Lousy poker face.
no doubt about it. Well, today, Trent, we want to talk a little bit about unity, and that is certainly an important topic for us to talk about. And you were great in putting together these talking points for us today. So tell me what was behind the heart of this episode.
Well, you know, I just started praying and thinking about how does unity affect us in our daily or our weekly ministry efforts in our church. And so today we're going to talk through, you know, what does unity look like in the nuts and bolts of your Sunday mornings when you're doing, you know, working with your praise team or your technology team? How does that work? You know, now hopefully a lot of our churches are streaming online. How does that work together? And so we want to be unified in everything we're aiming at.
Yeah, unity is more than just a nice concept. It really is an expectation for the church. And of course, there's some biblical imperatives that remind us of that. And John chapter, what is it? John 17, mm-hmm. Jesus' prayer. You know, he prays for his disciples, but he also prays for the church to have unity. Trent, what does that passage tell us?
Yeah, in John 17, starting in verse 20, it says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." So he had right before this, he'd been praying for his disciples, but now he's praying for us, right? I think this is important for us to understand. And it goes on to say that all may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. You know, so aiming at the same things, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they work together. They aim at the same things. Just like scripture talks about, husband and wife should be one flesh. It's they're aiming at the same things. They have the same goals. And this kind of comes, I started out with Psalm 133, verse 1. It says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And that word pleasant means charming or attractive. And the things that we do in church work, that should be attractive to other people. The way that we get along with each other should be attractive, not running off people, which unfortunately sometimes it does, doesn't it, Alan?
Yeah, you know, I love that. We spend so much time trying to figure out how do we attract people to church and the gospel and all that, and I think oftentimes we miss the point that it's really to see that we are working together and we are on the same page. The church is functioning as the church in unity. That really is probably the most attractive thing you can say about a group of people.
Right. And it you know, people have an aversion to conflict. And so whenever there's conflict, people are kind of like, I don't want to be around this. People don't like it. But the opposite is also true, that they're attracted to when things are working smoothly and people are getting along and they're like, man, I want to be a part of that. And so that's what we want to talk about today, just the nuts and bolts of it all.
Yeah, because it is a subject that we love to talk about. We love to preach about unity, but again, we have to think about why unity is an important matter in the life of the church. And so mm-hmm. you mentioned this idea that of one flesh and being of one mind and having kind of that focus that drives us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So today let's kind of break this down a little bit, Alan. First of all, unity, it's important because it does attract people. Scripture also tells us that people will know that we belong to Jesus by the way we treat each other, the way that we love one another. And so that is also true with your staff, you know, as pastors, as church leaders, the way that you work with your staff, people are going to be to know if we belong to Jesus or not. And I know we all have bad days, right? I had to apologize to a lady in my church this past Sunday because I was snappy at her the Wednesday before, but I was exhausted, you know? So I get that. We all have issues right. with it.
Well, I think that's part of it too, is being able to say when you're wrong and to be able to say that you're sorry. You know, and you'd think that would be second nature. And mm-hmm. people who are listening goes, well, I can do that. But I've met plenty of pastors who couldn't. They could never admit any weakness or any failure or any sense that they were wrong. And when you do that, you're certainly not going to breed unity, because unity does, you know, there's an idea that unity is able to put up with a lot of stuff mm-hmm. if we're honest and we communicate. And that's certainly true. And what happens when there is a gap in communication, Trent?
Well, I had somebody tell me this recently, and I was like, yeah, I've seen this to be true, that anytime there is a gap in what we're communicating and what we're expecting, that gap is always filled with negativity. And so think about in your church, when you don't communicate what your expectations are, say you don't communicate to your praise team what you had envisioned the service to flow like, and they don't, of course, know it, and so they're unaware of how to make it flow like that, but then it's that gap is filled with negativity on your part and their part because you're frustrated with each other.
I almost sneezed, Trent, so I apologize. I was like, I know he's about ready for me to say something, and I'm about to sneeze, but you're absolutely right. You know, people don't want to be surprised. You know, people don't want to let someone down. All of those things are hugely, hugely important in the communication side. And I really think that, you know, and when you say staff with all this too, you're not just talking about paid staff. You're talking about our volunteer leaders and right. anyone who really has skin in the game, you know. So ideally, that would be our entire church,
mm-hmm. yep.
in this, because we all have a role to play, and there's no role that really is more significant or more important than the other. And so you're really talking about the whole of the church. Mm-hmm. in that perfect world, we need to have that sense of unity. And, you know, if you think about the body metaphor that Paul uses in describing the church, you really don't want to be going off in a different directions. That would be painful.
Yeah, that's right. Even you may think that you don't have a big role in your church. You're just the big toe or the pinky toe, you know. But it is. It's important that we're all aiming at, and that's why I think it's important, Alan, for a pastor to communicate a vision each year. This is where we're going. This is what we're aiming at, because Scripture says that without vision, the people perish, or they're unhindered. They kind of scatter, right? And so I think it's important for us to communicate that.
Yeah, and so today we're not just talking about unity for unity's sake. We're really wanting to zero in about how we communicate that sense of unity in the church and how we live that out, for instance, on Sunday mornings in front of our congregations. And you mentioned, are you and your worship team, you know, yeah. on the same page? So let's break that down a little bit more. So let's talk about communicating, you know, where you're going with the sermon and with the expectations for the service.
Yeah, so think about, you know, you as a pastor, you probably have spent the entire week trying to get this all put together. You're writing out what you're planning on preaching about. Don't wait until the last minute to communicate that stuff with your praise team. You know, don't leave them in the lurch and struggling to get everything put together or even pick out songs. So are you communicating your sermon title and your expectations with your praise team?
Yeah, you know, Luke and I have a meeting every Monday where we sit down and we kind of go through where I'm headed, which has actually been more challenging lately, you know, because I've restructured and I've changed an awful lot of things over the last few weeks. And so we've actually had to, there's been days where we've been maybe more uncertain about where the sermon's going to end up than is typical, but that is what we normally do. We sit down and we really go through that. What is the desired outcome? Where is this message ultimately going? And so we certainly do that. And then Luke does a great job too of then he takes that and he builds that within his team. And so we try to touch together with that. And then of course on Sunday mornings I come in and have a time of prayer with our worship team. And I think that's those elements are very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, Alan. And the reason I wrote this out is because I found myself not doing a good job at this. And so this is me preaching at me, right? You know, and most of my sermons are at me. But so I was noticing that I was not giving my praise team the opportune time to pray through, okay? In order for us to match up and to help the sermon communicate everything that needs to be communicated, I wasn't giving them time to do that.
Yeah, I think that, you know, unity and flow go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And I think creating that sense of flow that says that we didn't all just come up and do something on our own, but we worked together for a common cause is very important. And I think that sense of flow is truly important. It flows a whole lot more than an order of service that you throw down. It's the ability to tie things together. It's the ability for someone, even when they're praying, to be able to pray specifically for what you desire to see on that other side. And so, and that takes a little bit of time, a little bit of effort. It doesn't happen accidentally.
Well, and this is an area, I think, Alan, where it would be good for us. You said that the entire church needs to be unified in this. And so God's been working on me to say, hey, why don't you communicate where you're going earlier in the week with your church family so that they can begin praying about that. Be praying for the praise team. Be praying for all the technology stuff, everything to work well, so that anybody who would come to church would be drawn to Jesus, especially those who might come and visit. You know, are they being drawn in because they see that God is moving in this?
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's as you're saying that, I'm thinking, maybe I need to be doing more there.
Me too.
Myself. And so, you know, getting your worship team, that's kind of because they're front and center, people see them, but that's not the only people they see. In many of our churches, we have a growing technology ministry. And mm-hmm. for many of us, if you're in a larger church, you have a staff, you have probably almost experts in the field. But in many of our churches, we are certainly anything but experts in the field of technology. But how do we work to get that group on the same page?
Well, and so I wrote down three things, Alan, and this is the first one is the same as your worship team, but are you communicating your sermon title and your expectations to them early? Remember that, you know, if you have somebody who's worth their salt, they're going to find a background or an image to use on the screens, you know, that would fit with what you're preaching about. And so are you communicating that so they have time to go looking? Or building, as it may be. And I know you deal with that, Alan, as well.
Yeah, and one of the things that was different is a lot of times I'll pick because I design a lot of our own sermon titles and backgrounds, mm-hmm. I'll put those in. And so I put in a white background with some yellow around the edges and had dark letters. Well, my media team came to me a week ago and said, the dark letters won't show up on our live stream. Because we embed the the words back into the live stream video. Mm-hmm. And so they said, we really need you to use a light or white lettering. Mm. I had to go find a different background for the next week because we were having issues with that. But again, that's them working with me and not against me to let me know, hey, you know, this doesn't look good. This doesn't get the feeling that we want across put in there. So, I mean, those are good things. And, you know, some pastors would actually be defensive about that and get upset that they had to change something.
Yeah. Well, and again, goes back to, you know, what we mentioned in the scripture that, you know, we want people to know, and it's pleasant, it's attractive when we're working well together. And, you know, instead of getting defensive as a pastor saying, well, you guys just have to figure it out, it makes what we're preaching about real to our technology team when we're like, hey, we really listen to them and we work together with them.
You know, I think, Trent, one of the other things that I think is important too with your technology team is to build that unity is also that sense of they didn't fail, you didn't fail when technology fails.
No, yeah.
We've you know, all of us, you know, we've run into snafus with our technology. Can you use snafu on today?
Is that a bad word?
But anyway, I don't know. But
Wazoo, but, that's a bad
but. But we had an instance this week where our camera that we usually put right in front of me or Luke to follow us and does a lot of automatic things for us was not communicating with the computer last Sunday. And we were so frustrated. And so, you know, I began our service by apologizing that we were using this camera that's, you know, sits way, way, way far back. And, you know, we look like little ants on the screen, but it was the only way we could live stream last week. And, you know, I got a phone call from someone who said, you know, in seeing that view and seeing how many people are in the auditorium, you know, we're going to feel comfortable. We're ready to start coming back in person now.
No,
you know, and I thought, wow, well, you know, maybe they're not the only person who's you know, been contemplating, is it the right time to come back? And, you know, I know that the COVID challenge has created a lot of issues for people, but at least in this one case, that problem actually had a good solution for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good reminder that God is in control, right? Romans 8:28 causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so even things like cameras not working out, God can use that.
That's right. I'm glad. Yeah. Because we certainly seem to have, there's always a technology issue. Oh, and, you know, your technology people are special people. Take good care of them. Let them feel they are part of everything. And a lot of your technology people do not want the limelight. I mean, they enjoy the behind the scenes thing, but you need to go out of your way to take advantage of that, but to remind everyone of how important and how special those folks are.
Well, and it never fails when there's some kind of technology snafu, as you say. Everybody looks back to the people in the sound booth or upstairs. Ours is upstairs, you know. And so that makes those people who don't want to be in the limelight feel terrible. And so we need to, you know, work to say, hey, it's not their fault. Please pray for us. We're all dealing with this. And so help them to feel like you're defending them, I think is a good thing.
Yeah, that is a good point. I keep hoping that our technology team can make me sound better when I sing, but
yeah,
they say there's nothing they can do when it's that bad.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do with filters and things. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
So, we've got one more, Trent.
Yeah, so I want you also to move beyond the folks and the technology that are in the sanctuary. But also, are you communicating, and I've not done a good job of this, but are you communicating with your small groups or your Sunday school leaders? Are you on the same page with them? Are you telling them where you're going with your sermons so that they can, you know, kind of weave in their stuff into that as well?
Yeah, you know, again, all of these things are things that we have to work through constantly. You know, when we put these podcasts together, we want you to know we haven't figured all this stuff out. We are still working and improving and trying to get better. And we've not really been having our small groups, and we're kicking those back off. And you know, I'm sitting here looking at this going, man, that's something that needs to happen more often in my communication with my teams.
Well, and everything that you and I talk about, Alan, is stuff that we've learned the hard way. That's the only way I learn, is the hard way. And so we want, you know, if you're listening to this or watching this, please know that the reason we're talking about this is because we've learned through the hard things and the mistakes that we've made, what works better. And we want to save you some heartache. And so that's why we're talking about this stuff.
Yeah, because again, your small groups, even though you may be in, you know, they may be studying the book of Ezekiel and you're preaching through, you know, you're preaching through 1 Corinthians, you know, it's still something that you can, they feel connected somehow. And it's amazing how God will parallel sometimes what you're preaching on that you didn't have any plans to join with, but by the nature of what you're doing, that somehow they come together, and people want to talk about those things.
Oh yeah. And they may have a question from last week's sermon, and the Sunday school class or small group setting is a great place to discuss those. And so you may never get to your Sunday school lesson, but it's still good because you're working through the things that are important to the people in the class. So keep that in mind. And I think that helps to develop some unity when you're working together with those folks. And so a couple of questions to kind of end this up is, are we as pastors keeping our church from functioning as a unified team? We kind of control the flow of communication. Remember, I said to you that when there's a gap in communication, that gap is always filled with negativity. And we don't want to have negativity in our church, so we want to make sure that we're communicating. And so are we setting out a clear message and letting other teachers teach that message too? We have to work and communicate to make sure that's the case.
Yes, we have that responsibility. We are really the person who helps ensure that the church works together. You know, there are many churches, and I know there's different forms of churches, and some even will say, you know, we have four or five pastors who are equal in authority, but there's still one that is the communicator, someone who gets all of that out, and that's the person we're talking to, the person who when they walk into the room, they usually have the last word. And in most cases, that's going to be the senior pastor, but we have that responsibility to make sure that we keep that communication ball rolling. And I will tell you, I've gone through periods of my ministry where I've just stopped communicating, and it always has a negative consequence. And sometimes I've communicated and communicated poorly, and that doesn't have a good right. Connotation either, but if we're not communicating, we won't have unity. We can work toward unity with honest and humble communication.
That's true, Alan. And so as you think about this and think about what unity looks like in your church, Alan and I have a heart to help you. Like we said earlier, that a lot of these things that we're talking about is because we've learned from doing the wrong things. And we want to help you and not just come and berate you and say, hey, you've got to fix all this stuff, but instead walk along with you and say, hey, you might think about this. And again, if we come and spend some time with you or visit with you over the phone, it's always you get to decide what you do. But we have a heart to help you out.
Yeah, that's right. So reach out to us. Let us know how we can come alongside and help you. It might be a question about unity. It might be something about structure or buildings or any of those kinds of things. But that's what we're here to do. And so you can reach out to us. We've got a Facebook page. We've got a website at enduringchurches.com. You can reach out to us via email, Alan, A-L-A-N, at enduringchurches.consulting, Trent at enduringchurches.com. Consulting, but that's what we want to do. We are passionate about helping you and your church endure. So we want to thank you for joining us today as we talked about unity and how you can build unity in your church, and really some practical ways. And a lot of that comes by not holding on to the vision so tightly, but sharing that vision with others. So make sure you're doing a good job of communicating your vision and where you're going on a weekly basis with your team. And make sure too, if this helps you in any way, that you share this podcast episode with others. We want to see our network grow this year, and so please help us out in that. Well, we look forward to catching you on our very next episode.